From the Ferry, Memories of a Boy. The second story is called The Minister's Purse. School was over, and I was sauntering about the down platform of the ferry station when I noticed Mr. Wilson frantically gesticulating from the other side of the tracks. Minister of the Free Kirk in the ferry, the Reverend A. Wilson, was a prominent figure in ferry life. His hobby was botany, and his son, Linnaeus, named after the great Swedish botanist, attended the local school. Needless to add, the boy was plain Linny to his contemporaries. Surely such an august personage couldn't possibly be signalling so fervently to me. I glanced round. Nobody else was on this side of the rail track, so, unlikely as it seemed, it had to be me he wanted. I hurried across to the up platform via the footbridge. Mr. Wilson was really worked up. "Run, laddie," came his urgent command. "Run, as fast as ever you did in your life, out to the manse, and tell Mrs. Wilson I've forgotten my purse. I left it on the toilet table, and hurry, hurry." Whirling round, I dashed through the crowd of passengers, fully six or seven of them awaiting the southbound train, and was off down the road like an arrow from the bow. Straight past a startled Joe McClenny I sped, his mouth in the act of opening to question me. Past Jenny Anderson, "What's your hurry, laddie?" Then down the school brae and round Hervey's Corner, along the Coos Park I streaked, where quizzical bovine eyes marked my passage. Past Mills, then finally through the manse gate to the front door, leaving a trail of wreckage through a bed of geraniums. So lustily did I yank the bell handle that over a foot of rod was left protruding as Mrs. Wilson stuck her astonished face through the door. I've come, I panted, for Mr. Wilson's purse. He left it on the twilight table. Mrs. Wilson was superb in emergency. For such a regal, dignified figure, she now displayed a remarkable turn of speed in negotiating the man's staircase. It was only when I was a bit older that it would dawn on me that she also deserved full marks for her lightning interpretation of my message. I hadn't quite got it wrong that it was the twilight table, it was in the toilet table. The purse was thrust into my hand, and as I ploughed back through the geraniums, Mrs. Wilson's anxious voice followed me. "Run, my boy! Hurry, hurry, hurry!" As if I needed a second urging, I raced back past Mills and the Coos Park, causing another momentary pause in cud-chewing, and round Hervey's Corner. Ahead loomed the worst challenge of the marathon, the cruel gradient of the school brae, avoided by all responsible drivers as being our stay for their horses. No matter. Head down, knees pumping, breath rasping, I forged on till I breasted the summit, ignoring Jenny Anderson a second time. "What's the matter, laddie?" Not to mention Joe McClenny. His mouth still open. I entered the station and flashed along the home stretch with Mr. Wilson's "hurry, hurry" ringing in my ears. Just as I thrust the purse into his outstretched hands, the train, with piercing whistle, emerged from the tunnel and drew up in a cloud of steam and smoke. Without a moment to spare, Mr. Wilson purchased his ticket and hustled into an empty carriage as the train was about to restart. Then he signalled me over to the open window and fumbled in his purse for a penny. There was no penny. And luckily for me, there was no halfpenny either. Now the train was nearing the end of the platform, with me still trotting hopefully alongside. Mr. Wilson leaned out through the window and with a reckless gesture pressed into my palm, oh rapture, a silver threepenny piece. The train and I parted company, the train heading for Dalmeny and Edinburgh, and I for Granny Bell's and Granny Patterson's to squander my riches. And you can perhaps just hear a train going past the windows of my house as I speak.